I always like to come down here because I like to be with the folks that I talk to. So this morning, our message title is, Therefore, We Don't Lose Heart. And whenever I come among you, I always ask you to participate a little bit. So whenever I say the word therefore, your part in the message is, we won't lose heart. Okay, we do not lose heart. So we're just going to practice. Therefore, and you're allowed to use your bulletin. But one of the things that I want to have happen this morning is that even if you don't need the message, I trust you will, but you're going to meet somebody this week that's going to be downhearted. And they're going to need to have words of encouragement. And I want to share the words that Paul shared with the Christians in the city of Corinth. So this is our scripture passage this morning from 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I don't know if you have favorite chapters in the Bible. You know, a lot of people do. A lot of us, the 23rd Psalm, the 100th Psalm, the 121st Psalm. Maybe you like the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. You know, maybe you like John chapter 3. That's where it says what? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that and whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Maybe you like the end of John where Jesus says, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. I go there to prepare a place for you. So I don't know if you have some favorite chapters, but chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians is one of my favorite chapters. So you have to listen to some of those verses this morning. So this is what Paul says in chapter 4, verse 1. Says, therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. So that's where the title for this sermon comes from. He says that twice in this passage of Scripture. And then we're going to jump to verse 7. And it says, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. And then he shares a little bit that I think you might identify with this morning. He says, we're hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. Now, there's some days that you need to read those two verses, I think. Because some days we get up and we tend to have lost heart. We tend to be discouraged. We tend to think, well, I'm the only one having a rough time. Well, I want you to know, the Apostle Paul had a rough time too. He says, we always carry around in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our bodies. So what Paul's trying to say is when you go through difficult times, this isn't Jim Tubbs, okay? This is Paul. He's saying when you go through difficult times, there's a great opportunity for others to see Jesus Christ in you. None of us want to put our hand up and say, all right, God, I'm ready for a tough time. We're not in that kind of a volunteering thing. But Paul says, usually it's not in the good times where people recognize Jesus living in you and through you and being shared with others. But it can be, it ought to be, an opportunity when we go through difficult times that people can say, wow, I could never respond quite like that. I've had many opportunities as a pastor to be with people and I say, wow, they're dealing with this situation in such a wonderful way. I just pray to God that if I ever face that, I might do as well as they are, because I know it's God that's giving them the power. And then we go a little bit later in 2 Corinthians. And again, in verse 16, Paul says, therefore we do not lose heart. So you get kind of the idea that chapter 4 is about therefore. Okay, you're staying with me. I don't want you to lose, okay? So in verse 16, Paul says, though outwardly we're wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. And so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since that what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Let's pray as we look at this scripture today. Father, I thank you for the honesty that Paul shared, first with those Corinthian Christians and down through the centuries into our day with us, that life is hard. Life isn't always easy. But the good news is that you're always with us, whether life is going well or we're in the midst of great challenges. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So therefore, okay, it's hard to hear a little bit. You don't have to be bashful. You're allowed to say that, because I want you, this week when you meet somebody, you might be able to share with them, therefore we don't lose heart. How many of you know who George Bailey is? Anybody here old enough to know who George Bailey is? It's a great movie. Actually, Jolene and I never saw this movie until about 1998 or 1999. Some friends of ours came and said, you need to see this. It was then an old movie. but it was new to us in 98 or 99. And the story is about a man that has a tremendous dream that he is going to what? He's going to go see the whole world. And that's what his dream is. And so he's had a couple accidents. He saved his brother, and he has hearing loss in one ear. And then he's about to go off to college, and his father dies. And so his father runs a savings and loan association. And so all the directors there say, oh, George, we need you. Won't you stay here? Your community needs you. And so his brother goes off to college, and George stays home. A little later on in the movie, he gets to marry the wonderful gal of his life. Things are wonderful in his life. They're in the car. They're ready to go on their honeymoon. But then there's a run on the money in the bank. And so George, again, he takes all his honeymoon money and gives it to all the depositors and tries to keep the depositors happy. And so another trip that he'd like to have doesn't take place. Then you go on, and he kind of has a fumbling, bumbling uncle. And somehow thousands of dollars disappears. And who has all the money? Mr. Potter. No, not the banker. Mr. Potter is the villain in this story. And things really fall apart. And he has no solution. Therefore, okay, now, what happens? He does lose heart, doesn't he? You know, he says, he finds out what? He has an insurance. You might have an insurance policy like this. It says you're more worth more dead than alive. And so he goes and has his plan. to take care of his problem, his difficulty, because he did feel there was no way out. And then there's another character that enters the story. He's on the bridge, ready to jump in the water, and who appears? Clarence. And of course, Clarence is an interesting character because he's trying to earn his wings. And so he says, come on in. So he jumps in, and you know the rest of the story. It's the rest of the story that allows this story to be called what? It's a Wonderful Life. But in most of the story, it was not, quote unquote, we would call a wonderful life. He was continually giving up something that he had a desire. So therefore, okay. So we want to take a look at what Paul tells us about why we don't lose heart. In verse 1, this is what Paul says. He says, therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we don't lose heart. You always want to remember what a privilege it is, not only to be invited, but to be called and sent in the ministry of God. When we get discouraged and maybe we think life isn't going the way we want, or we don't really have anything to offer, Paul says he was encouraged because he was called and sent in this ministry. So remember that God has called you and sent you to share his love with others. Even when other things are falling apart in your life, the fact that God entrusts that to you. Then we're going to take a look at the end of chapter 4. Therefore, so one of the reasons we don't lose heart is what? We are jars of clay, which means what? It means not worth much, are we? We're pretty fragile. We can break very easily. So when you find difficulties in your life, don't be surprised that there is brokenness in your life. Okay? Paul says we're jars of clay. And if we can remember that, it won't surprise us when things don't go well all the time, or that we face difficulties that tend to break us. Therefore, because we're all a bunch of clay, okay? The second thought is, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. So if you don't want to fall apart, when you're under stress and distress and things are not going right, we need to focus on the inward part of us. How do you strengthen your inward spirit? I know what you know, some of us. Some of us read scripture, right? Day by day. That's a way that we increase our spiritual strength. Some of us play music. I live with a musician, and she'll sit down and play the piano. And sometimes when I don't know why she's playing the piano, I might be the reason that she's playing the piano, you know, to inward strength. Some of us like to listen to Christian music because it brings strength to us. So therefore, because we do the inner strengthening through scripture reason, through small groups, through others praying with us and praying for us, through listening to music, some people find that they really get strengthened by going out and helping somebody else, is how they increase that inner strength in their life. So the second thing, first thing is that we're jars of clay. Secondly, that even though the outward part's wasting away, inwardly we can be strong. And Paul gives this next piece for us to think about. It's called perspective. Paul says, "For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all." So Paul is talking about putting things into perspective. Do you ever notice that the immediate tends to demand your attention, your emotions, your thought processes? You kind of get stuck in the immediate situation. And Paul says we need to unstick ourselves from the immediate situation and say that even though this might go on for months or years, Paul says that we need to see that there is an eternal glory that's going to outweigh this difficult time we're going through, whether it's a physical thing, whether it's an emotional thing, whatever distress and stress it is that's causing us to feel boxed in and no way out. So therefore, because what? Because we choose to focus on the fact that this is not something that's going to last forever, but we, with God's help, we'll either make it through, or what happens if we don't make it through? We die, right? In chapter 5, verse 1, Paul says, "But the good news is if this tent is destroyed, this clay jar is destroyed, what? God has created a dwelling in heaven for each of us." So there's one more thought here as we go through therefore. I didn't hear anything. Therefore. Okay, I'm losing you. Okay, I just want to keep you here. Okay. So the next thing is we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Sometimes we have to talk to ourselves. Sometimes we have to be our own coach. It's wonderful when God sends some other people to be our coach, right? And to talk to us and to give us words of wisdom. Sometimes we have to talk to ourselves about what we're focusing on, what has our attention. And yes, it's very real, the present moment. But the reality is that what? This earthly life is temporary. No matter how bad it is, I want you to know there's an escape clause. It's called death. It's not what most of us would put our hands up for, but that's the ultimate escape clause that God gives to us. And the fact is that there is an eternal life. There's an opportunity to be with God where God is. And there's all sorts of visions that we have about what heaven's like. I think we're all going to be surprised. I have no idea, really, other than that God's going to be there. And family members are going to be there, that sort of thing. But one thing I do is I don't want to sing in a chorus for eternity. You know, that's not my goal for eternity. So therefore, okay, number one, we're jars of clay. Number two, even though our outward is wasting away, we can strengthen the inner resources that we have. Number three is that these are light and momentary compared to what eternity is going to be like. And number four is that we fix our eyes, we talk to ourselves in positive ways. And we fix our eyes not only what is currently happening, but the reality that God's in control and God has created a place for me. So therefore, let's pray. God, help us to speak to ourselves in positive ways. When we feel perplexed, when we feel the world is turning in on us, when we feel out of control, overwhelmed, and bring to mind some of these words that Paul has shared with the Corinthians and today has shared with us, that they might be encouraging words for us. It's in Jesus' name we pray.